Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Welcome again to Markham Baptist Church. This morning, Victoria has a special word for the children, and following that, Sandy will bring the reading of Scripture for the day.
This reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen.
Well, welcome to the other side of Easter. You know, on Easter morning, darkness is a big part of the story. It happens in the darkness, in fact. Scripture says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Mary went to the tomb. And then again in verse 19 of John chapter 20, we find those disciples shut up in a room, locked doors, for fear of what will happen to them. Darkness before Mary, darkness before the disciples. Darkness seemed to bracket the miracle of what took place on Easter morning. Darkness before Mary goes to the sealed tomb and later finds Jesus speaking her name. He's risen. He's alive. And then darkness when the disciples, out of fear for what will come next, are locked in that upper room and then discover Jesus standing among them. A sealed tomb can't hold a risen Jesus any easier than a locked door could stop the disciples from discovering the resurrection power of life breaking in upon them. When God is involved in life, And God's always involved in our lives. Well, life has a way of entering the darkest of moments, the darkest of our moments as we journey through life. What do you see in the dark times of your life? What do you see in this dark time in the life of the world during this global pandemic? Do you see only the darkness, the absence? What's missing? Those things that we're used to having. The ease of going to any store and getting what we want when we want them. The fun of meeting neighbors and friends at a restaurant or a movie or a show. The ease of picking up groceries that we know will be lining the shelves without anything missing. Are you missing those things? Is that the darkness that you're aware of in life right now? Maybe more significantly, you're aware of the darkness of dire times, financial concerns, job loss or job insecurity, health, or the missing of family members. Or do you see what the darkness cannot hide? Do you see the risen Jesus who comes to us in the midst of the shadows, in the midst of our fears and concerns? Do you see what the darkness is unable to overcome? This God who never gives up in his pursuit of us, this risen Lord whose power overwhelms and overtakes us amidst our concerns or fears or doubts. Psalm 16, verse 7 says this, "I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me." And then there's the next verse. The next verse reads this, "I keep my eyes always on the Lord, for with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." Whenever life becomes uncertain, whenever we face disorienting times, we're in search of basically two things, comfort and confidence. Comfort is what we get when we find ourselves settled in the safe places, when we feel the safest being where we've always been or the places we know. But confidence is that added extra. It's something of a gift that allows us to move beyond where we are, where we feel safe, where we have a sense of comfort, moving out and beyond to the unknown, recognizing even there we have a sense of security, a sense of hope because of our trust, our faith, because of what we believe in. Through the prophet Isaiah, God spoke to the people of Israel during a time when they had just come through exile and they were heading back and they were needing to hear a word not just of comfort, but of confidence. And here's what the prophet says to them. Here's what God says through the prophet Isaiah. It's in chapter 48. Verse 13, "My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they will stand at attention." And then we have the confidence we find in Psalm 56, which reminds us, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in the Lord." Following that, there's Psalm 62, verse 8, which offers again this strong word, not of comfort only, but that added extra, that sense and hope and confidence. "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." You see, bad circumstances can and do knock us off our feet. It can shake our foundations. Circumstances, bad circumstances can do that. But what confidence does for us, well, it reminds us in whom we trust, so that no matter what shakes us, no matter how flimsy our foundations feel, our confidence is not in our own ability, but in God. chapter 20 of John comes towards its conclusion in verse 30 and 31, and we read these words. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. John is saying here, listen, I could roll out all kinds of proofs. I could share many more stories. I could tell you all kinds of things about what Jesus did after his rising from the dead. But if all of these things that I've already shared with you aren't going to cause your heart to pound and your faith to rise within you, then nothing will. And then he says this, that through believing, you may have life in his name. That's the whole purpose for the entire Gospel of John. I think that's also the purpose of all the Holy Scriptures before us. To believe is to discover new life is dawning for and within us. It's that opportunity to recognize Easter calls us not just to believe in a list of things that we can argue for or against with other people, but rather to believe in a relationship that God wants to have with us through the living Christ. We've gotten the first part of the Easter story right. We've figured out how to celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But the next part of it is living out that relationship with a living Savior. And that's what takes away the sting of death. Death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? The victory we have is in a living Savior. To believe brings with it the unshakable joy of one day seeing face to face the one whom to know is life itself. My grandmother, who used to memorize many scores of scriptures, and in particular the Psalms, had certain psalms that were harder than others for her, not because at 99 or 101 she found it difficult to remember, but because she heard herself repeating the words, and hearing those words, she would take the message to heart, and at times it would be hard for her just to get through them. It would break her heart hearing the love of her Lord and the promises of Scripture. One psalm in particular was extremely hard for her to recite. It was Psalm 27. And the verse that was the most difficult for her was verse 13. It really hit home. Here's what it says. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait, another word for that is trust. Wait or trust in the Lord. Caroline Lewis, a great commentator, in her commentary on this passage says that belief in the resurrection is all about relationships. She says it's a relationship that will never be broken, a relationship that will never be abandoned, a relationship that will never know separation. It's a relationship with God that will go on forever. Think about that. Not many, not all, certainly, of our relationships are unbreakable or go on forever. Many of our relationships change. They change constantly. They weaken. They break apart through some fault or even no fault of our own. Broken relationships define much of our lives. Some days we might feel like we just want to stay in bed in our pajamas, not face the next day for fear of what will be behind that door, what will be behind those curtains or just down the road. We'd rather keep the door closed and locked like those first disciples of Jesus for fear of what's out there, for fear that our lives would depend upon it. In other words, that sense that comfort comes by avoiding the unknown. The coronavirus has certainly caused many people to fear for the darkness, to hesitate in terms of not trusting and what might come next for them. But when we lock the doors of our hearts, when we close the doors of our lives, we imprison ourselves with those fears. The disciples locked in that upper room, it was as if they were closing themselves into a tomb, a sealed tomb, keeping everything else that God could make possible for them out. They shut their eyes to the promise. They closed their lives to the possibility. They could see nothing beyond the darkness. They were even closing themselves in and shutting themselves out from Easter. What about you? What are some of the locked places in your life? You know, that says more about the things that are going on inside of us than the circumstances we're concerned about on the outside. What are some of the closed places in your life today? What keeps you in the tomb? What are the conditions that you're afraid of facing? The conditions that you're afraid of placing in God's hands? Perhaps it's a matter of not knowing what to do with the pain that you've endured in the past. Perhaps it's not knowing how to manage your anger. Perhaps it's not knowing what to do with the losses that you've suffered or the wounds that you've carried for way too long. Maybe you're afraid that you won't be up to the new life that God is inviting you into. Or perhaps you're afraid that God, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, isn't going to be up to your pain or loss or woundedness, or won't know how to manage or handle your anger or doubts or questions. Jesus can help open doors that we thought were forever shut before us. He can offer us a new future of hope when we thought that door too was locked by the pain we've endured from the past. No matter what the darkness that may seem to bracket your life today, Jesus shows up. Jesus keeps on showing up in our lives. And as the psalmist said, I'm confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. In other words, trust in Him. Christ shows up before the darkness subsides, but Christ shows up in the midst of it. He shows up when we least expect Him to, and He shows up even in those moments when, out of weariness or fear or concern, we've almost stopped looking. He asks us to trust in the midst of the darkness. He asks us to leave the darkness behind and walk with Him. In other words, He sends us out to share the good news of what He brings to living, that this resurrection hope, this relationship with the living God, can change our futures entirely. Both darkness and light are realities in this world. But John says from the start, all the way through his gospel, the light shines in darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. O God, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the roll of thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then, says the hymn writer, then sings my soul. But, O God, why then, rather than singing from the depths of our souls, do we still fear tomorrow? Do we still doubt your power? Do we still at times faint with disbelief? O Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Thank you for creating us in such a way that we are not demanded to trust in you, that we are not forced to believe in you, that instead you offer us an invitation to trust and to put our lives in your hands, to find our hope in you. Thank you for this gift of our humanity, a humanity that allows these choices. It reminds us that in you there is the kind of peace that this world doesn't understand and can never on its own give to us. We come seeking your peace. We come asking for that which we cannot give ourselves. We come seeking forgiveness. Forgiveness for the selfishness that sometimes characterizes our behavior. We come asking forgiveness for the part we may have played in the hurts of others. We come seeking forgiveness for taking paths that accept the world's failing values instead of your lasting truth. Guide us today, O God, in the ways that we should go, and show us your mercy. Guide us in your grace. For we pray for all those who, at great risk to themselves, are caring for us and others. We pray for hospital staff and nurses. We pray for doctors and janitors and clerks. We pray for the nursing home staff, for caregivers. We pray for restaurant owners and grocery store workers, bank tellers and government employees. We pray for the people in repair shops and for the farmers, for shipping agents and factory workers. Lord, the list goes on and on. But turn to us, O God, in the midst of our darkest of times. Help us turn to you in the darkest times in our lives, that we might seek your continuing power, that you would deliver us from darkness, that you would deliver us to your eternal love. Remove from us the fear that causes us to lock away parts of our lives from you and open those locked places that have kept you at a distance. Enter in fully that we might be saved and find you, the hope that we seek. Thank you for gifting us with what we need to face the challenges before us, that we are able to be more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Continue your work in us that began in Galilee, in Jerusalem, Calvary, in the empty tomb. And then complete your work, O God, in us through our sure faith in Jesus Christ, alive and risen. We pray in his name, believing. We pray that prayer that he taught his followers to pray when together they said with him, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks for watching today. My prayer for you is that you will take the next step beyond Easter morning, the next step that leads to a life of relationship in the living Christ, who will take you into the brightness of His glory and the strength and confidence of His love. Because of that, may God grant you progress and joy in the faith.
Mistakes that you did, I will not let myself cause my heart.